sleep in my whole fucking life, I feel like.
No.
No.
I don't, yeah. And I'm like so different when I don't get a good night's sleep. I mean, I'm fucked. That's why I'm scared.
No, I'm such a, and it's crazy because I always want to have like a long conversation late at night with someone when I'm like really tired. I'm like, can we just like fix everything that's wrong with this?
Well, I learned about the, the guy, my ex told me about this thing where he was like, there's a thing called revenge, nighttime revenge or something, where like basically comedians, we wake up at noon and then the whole world has begun. We have like text messages and we have shit to do. And then we're like hustling all day because we're late. And then at night we like, it's our only time to be alone.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Then we're just like, well, I'm going to stay up till 4 a.m. because now nobody's fucking bothering me. And then it starts again.
Every night that I put Minot to bed, I go like, okay, I'm just going to get a little bit of me time. And then the me time is just like,
Yeah.
Staring at a wall. Yeah, like it's crazy. It's not like a luxurious.
Or scrolling, or watching Euphoria.
Fighting with someone, like a sister via text.
Yeah,
it's just
totally.
So stupid.
I know. But when, you know what I've started doing is for touring, just because touring is so hard, on the plane, I'm like, there's no hooking up to the Wi-Fi. I'm just
really?
Chilling. Yeah, and I'm like.
You're raw dogging the flight.
I'm just, I'm watching movies.
That's raw dogging the flight.
Yeah, that, yeah.
To me, that's raw dogging.
No, I don't want anybody talking to me. I'm like,
you
I have such
could, you might as well be like reading the newspaper or something. Mm-hmm. Or doing a crossword, watching a movie with no phone.
Crossword, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And watch it. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm like, I have to have some part of my life where I'm like, nobody's talking
That's
to
really
me.
Good.
Yeah, that's
Maybe
nice.
I'll try that.
Because also the Wi-Fi doesn't work half the time. And then you're like, some people are getting texts, some people are not. So I'm like, fuck it.
Yeah.
You know?
I like when the Wi-Fi shuts down and I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I go like, okay, there's been some divine intervention here and I need to just relax.
I had a flight in Delta One recently where the TV didn't work.
Dude.
Which is kind of crazy given how much you pay.
You can get miles for that, by the way.
I think I can get miles for that. I heard the guy in front of me get miles. Yeah. But I just like read a book the whole time and it was nice.
What book?
It's called X Is Where I Am. And it's about like this woman who's, was very kindred to me because her mom dies and she's like a love addict and she's like falling in love. And she's like, this is crazy that I'm losing my mom. But I'm also like just fully engrossed in this love affair, which is how I always feel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When my dad died, I was just like, but will my ex come back because
oh,
my dad's
yeah, no,
dead.
I fucked the guy who's, my sister drowned in his jacuzzi. I fucked him.
Really?
Really? Fucked up.
Really? Wait, what?
That's so dark, but it did happen.
She was in, he was, how much younger was she?
10 years younger.
And so you were?
I was 17.
And he was 17?
Yeah.
And
like it was like 3 years later. Like I was in college, but like definitely fucked him and was like, this feels not great.
Did you guys sue the jacuzzi people?
Huh?
Did you sue the jacuzzi company?
I can't say.
Oh.
Which means yes. But
you can't say?
I can't say.
What did they have? Like a suck?
Yeah, there's legislation that says so like there's drain covers on jacuzzis.
Yeah.
That say like VGB, which are my sister's initials. Because it was like all, my mom like fought for like legislation to like make sure that these covers were there. Because like
over
some crazy number of like kids were dying every year by entrapment from like drains, from jacuzzi drains.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
So it was just it was like an aerator or something?
I don't know how it works.
It must have been aerating the thing so that it doesn't get all stagnant and pulling air in. That's fucking crazy. And then you fucked that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I fucked I didn't actually have penetrative sex with him, but yeah, I fucked a guy who gave me a pig to use at my dad's funeral.
Who gave you a what?
A pig to roast at my dad's funeral.
Damn.
Yeah.
You're like, how do I thank you for this? And you're like,
Well, I kind of like didn't have penetrative sex with him, and then I kind of like used that as a, like I was like, maybe we would do that if you gave me a pig for the funeral because we had no money.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You fucked a guy for a roast pig?
Yeah, I fucked a guy for a yeah. And then nobody ate it. It was just a pig on fire at my dad's
funeral. It's like you can't, the number of choices that I've made sexually, like I can say mistakes, right?
Yeah.
I could not possibly judge another.
Right. Totally. You know? I know.
Based on the choices that I myself have made.
Yeah.
Especially in times of like deep grief.
I know. It is crazy. It is my number one addiction, I would say, is sex. And it is crazy how for me it is a cure all. Like I can just be in the worst place, and if I have sex with somebody, I'm like, I have like a full 8 hours of relief.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's like validation. It's the actual dopamine.
Yeah, you walk around being like, I'm a bad bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whatever it is that's happening right now in my real life.
Yeah.
It's not real for this 24 hours.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't come with the shame that other drugs come with or the come down.
No, I think it probably can if it gets to that. But like, you know, for women, I think for men, it probably gets there quicker than for women. Because it's like, even if we are addicted.
Yeah.
I don't know a woman who's going to fuck somebody that they're not turned on by.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
yeah, for men
will
it's
fuck
worse.
Someone that they're not really even turned on by.
Well, like, some men prefer to fuck women that they don't actually like at all.
Yeah. I want to start an OnlyFans because I have, like, ugly feet, but Blair just started her own OnlyFans for feet, so I can't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
She started a foot?
Yeah, it's Blair Saki, ankles down, no hole.
Wow.
Yeah, I really fucking love it. It's so funny.
And she
was like,
money off
she
it?
Showed me the she showed me the way she talks to these men, and she's like she's like, "Let's fucking go, boys. It's foot massage day." Like she's like a basketball
wow,
coach.
Wow, that's awesome. And then she makes money off it?
Yes. She started it during the pandemic, and then her manager made her take it down, and now she's started it up again. I'm really proud of her.
That's awesome. Yeah, her manager made her take it down. It was like just because they were like, you're not going to be able to get.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know. It was still, OnlyFans had like a thing around it during the pandemic, remember? Everybody was just like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it had a
no,
different
totally,
reputation
yeah.
during the pandemic. But yeah, now
what
she's.
What would you do? What could you. You have ugly feet?
Yeah.
What breed of ugly feet?
I was a dancer. They're fucked up.
Oh.
Yeah, they're fucked up. Like.
Yeah, but people might like that.
My toenails have fallen off. I got a bunion. It's bad. It's bad.
But you could make a lot of money off OnlyFans.
I could. But I'm not going to do it.
Those are your real tits?
Yeah, these are my real tits.
That's sick. That's crazy.
They're pretty good.
Those are great tits.
They're pretty good. I didn't breastfeed. It's like I'm going to keep these babies in shape.
Oh, how do you do that?
So I went on Reddit and I looked and if you...
It's the most comedian thing.
I know.
I had a baby and immediately went on Reddit.
Yeah, I went on Reddit and I was like, how do I like not breastfeed? How do I like dry up my milk supply quick? And they were like, if you take like 5 days of Benadryl, it'll just fucking...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did it.
Did you pump?
No, because you just dry it up.
And then you gave the formula, like rich people?
And then I gave her formula, yeah.
Wow.
Just trying to raise her autistic.
Yeah, doesn't that do something?
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. I mean, people say it does, but it doesn't.
I know a girl who, like, the baby wouldn't latch, and she, like, refused to give it formula because of the hippie stigma, and I was like, your baby's
gonna
die.
Well, there's a lot of, like, pressure on women to, like, do that, and it's weird. It's, like, really weird. They like, pressure the fuck out of you to do it. And I was like, what is the goal here? Like,
Is that what fucks your tits up?
Breastfeeding?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was, like, the whole pregnancy, the whole, like, expanding.
Well, yeah, it's, like, listen, you're gonna do some damage.
How did you fit her in there?
The first baby, I have a theory that the first baby is a freebie.
Okay.
Like the first baby, you'll fuck your body up, but it's going to go back.
Okay.
The second baby, I think, is what really does it.
How old were you when you had Minnow?
I was, 38.
38.
Yeah.
And it was fine. You did C-section?
C-section.
Because you didn't want to fuck your shit up or because she had to? Because
I didn't want to fuck up my shit.
Do you have a big scar? I have a big scar.
It's like, I was like, I want a little scar. And then she was so big that they were like, I heard the doctor, she was like, it's a big baby.
It's the biggest baby.
She sounds like Mario. Like she's super Italian.
Yeah.
And then I heard them like grab the thing again. And then I felt it, you don't feel it, but you can feel it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's sensation, but there's no pain. So I heard them like cut more and not heard it. I felt it. And now it's just kind of like, it's sort of like a little like smirk. Like it looks like my pussy's like smirking at you a little bit. And sometimes I think if I like pinch one nipple, it looks like my whole torso's winking.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't mind it.
I don't mind it.
Wow.
I don't mind it. I actually am really fucking proud of it. There's this weird, like, I look down and I'm like, this fucking right.
Yeah, 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 you know? Totally.
Yeah.
And you pulled out a baby bigger than yourself out of that little hole.
She's 3 foot five. I'm 5 foot three. And she's two years old.
It's so crazy. Yeah. Why is that? Andy's not that tall. How tall is he?
Andy's six something. I don't know.
She's huge. I mean, you would come into the cellar with her on your chest and it was like she could easily like
she's a big
topple
baby.
Over and then have you on her back.
Yeah.
Is what it looked like.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's the best though.
She steps on my foot and it like I'm like, that hurts.
Is she talking?
That, like,
fully?
Legitimately hurts. Yeah, she's talking. Dude, she tried to do stand up. She tried to do stand up this weekend. I was at the creek and she was like outside on the patio and was like doing stand up for people while I was on stage.
That's awesome.
Is it?
Yeah. I think it is for a baby. Get it out of her system young.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as we get it out.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't want that.
Was she like babbling or was she like
this? No, I can play it for you. You want me to play it for
you? Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
I've been sitting on a business idea. If you've been sitting on a business idea, Shopify makes it easy to make it happen. Everything you need to start selling is included and ready from day one, including the moment your first customer is ready to pay. Shopify checkouts helps more than helps them finish their purchase. And when they come back, their details are already saved. One tap and they're done. Because Shopify handles the setup and checkout, you have more time to focus on growing your business and the tools that do it. Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide, from household names like Maytel is Barbie, and Gymshark, to small businesses just getting started. Is it Mattel or Maytel? You don't know. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business, so make it a good one. Cha-ching! Shopify new sale sound. Start your free trial at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Start your free trial at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Comedy, for example. Shopify turns out you don't need a real job. That's so rude that they use that as an example. This is obviously a real job. Build your own business with a free trial at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Your landlord has a small business. Your ex has a small business. What are you waiting for? Start a free one at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Be your own boss. No dress code, no commute, no Steve from accounting. Free trial at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. True crime, that's an option. You don't need one's approval to make a living. Build your own business with a free trial at shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Sports? Best athletes don't wait for the perfect moment. They train, they show up, they compete. Start your business for Gen Z drama? That's a subject somehow. Stop waiting for your permission to build something. Main character energy only. Freetrial.com/Shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. That's okay. Business. Own your own customer relationships. Start your revenue. Start a free trial. Shopify.com. You know that little blue thing that you see when you go to check out? Maybe it's not blue, but it's a certain color. And you go, oh, Shopify, and you click that. That's what that is. So you could have one of those too. Shopify.com/Jordan Jensen. Okay, this is for NoCD.com. NoCD helps with OCD, which I am riddled with. It's a very helpful website to go to if you need some support. If you don't know if you have OCD, I'll tell you some of the things that I have. I have intrusive thoughts. I'm worried I'm going to do bad things. Worried I'm going to put a fork through baby's eyes. Worried I'm going to jump off a building. Worried that maybe you don't have that kind of OCD. Maybe you have the one that's more like, did I offend somebody today? Is that person mad at me and you can't sleep all night? Maybe you have that. Maybe you have pure OCD where there's no rituals attached to it. Either way, whatever you got, if you're suffering from it, there is help at NoCD.com. Use NoCD.com/Jordan Jensen, and you can get paired with an exposure therapist. Exposure therapy is, in my opinion, the best way to deal with OCD. It allows you to face the fears and then to take away how scary they are because you face them. That is the only way to get rid of it, besides using a heavy amount of medication, which I don't recommend. I mean, I do recommend if you need it, but you also have to do exposure therapy no matter what, so you might as well go to NoCD.com to get hooked up with a therapist. It's all online. You don't gotta go in person. You can talk to people. So that's NoCD.com/, oops, I lost the ad, /Jordan Jensen. I do stand for this. I do believe in it. It's a very good website. Exposure therapy is not as scary as it seems to be. And if you work with a therapist, they'll go at whatever pace you're ready. If you just want to go to a therapist and you go, today I just want to check the stove 1,900 times as opposed to 1,901 times, they will say, that's a big step. So go however speed you want with a therapist from NoCD.com. Thanks.
It's really horrific stand-up. It's not funny at all. And, you know, what's sad is, like, she does have jokes. Like, she, I told her, I was like, what, how'd you get so cute? And she goes, I took a pill.
Wow. I was like,
that's a fucking joke.
That's a bit.
Yeah. She's got bits. All right. All right. Hold on.
Oh
no, that's not, that's Frankie, that's Rachel's kid. So Rachel's kid was doing it too, because we were together in Austin, just like
why did the man cross the road? I don't know, tell me.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a good, it's got legs.
And then he slid down the road.
There's a tragic end.
To see his other factory friends?
He was working in a factory? Oh my god, that fall could really just take his whole livelihood. What?
Construction. He worked construction.
Okay, so she's going to be a stand-up or a blue-collar man.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let her do stand-up.
I would never.
Are you worried all the time about her? Like, right now, are you like, I hope she's okay?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm so neurotic just with my dog. I'm like, I hope she's
okay. I know, but like, you start to, I mean, at first I was, and then you start to watch them just like several times a day, like, there's a what would have ruined my week happens to me. Several times a day now, and I just got to keep it moving.
Like what, where she slams her head against me?
She'll like slam her head against a wall, or she'll fucking walk into moving traffic and I have to let, you know what I mean? Just like shit that, or like you'll be getting on a train and she like falls between the train, you know, just
perfect.
And you just got to be like, okay, we got to keep it moving. Like it's, you just sort of become, you go, well, this is it. This is, I'm just with someone that's always drunk, trying to kill themselves.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you get used to it.
I just turned 35, and now everybody in my life is like, are you going to have a kid? Are you going to have a kid?
At 35?
Yeah, it's like as soon as I hit 35, which was like...
Do you want one, though? It feels like you go back and forth a lot. Every time I talk to you, you go back
like,
and forth.
Dude, it's whoever I'm dating.
Yeah.
It's like if I'm dating somebody a little whack, I'm like, nah, I don't need to have kids. But if I'm dating somebody I'm in love with, I'm like, well, I have to have a child immediately. It's crazy.
It is like that.
Yeah.
It is like that. I don't want a kid if I'm with somebody that I don't think would be a good dad.
Yeah. It's like as soon as, even if I, like, I was with somebody recently that when we got into fights, they would just burn it down. Like, they would just be like, I hate all of these things about you and you're a horrible person. And I'd be like, and I was like, okay, well, obviously I can't have it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's going. But if I'm in a relationship with somebody where I burn it down and I'm like, you're a horrible person, I'm like, I can have a kid with that person. And they're like, okay, Jordan, yep, I'm horrible. I'm bad.
Right. Well, because that's the kind of person that can stand a pregnant woman.
A pregnant, exactly.
They can withstand the stress.
And if we got divorced, they'd
like,
be like, they wouldn't talk shit about me. They'd be like, yeah, she's insane. But
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
But
that's,
I think that
100%,
is what it is.
I mean, sociopathic, but
I
fully agree.
It's true. Yeah. Like, you want them to be, but.
You just want somebody who's like the stable one so that you can, you can weather the storm of hormonal trauma that you're about to undergo.
Yeah, totally. And, yeah, that's my biggest fear about pregnancy. I think I'd be a fine mom. I think I'd be a good mom. But I'm worried that in that time I would be insane.
Yeah, it is. You are a little insane. It's just, it is. It's actually after pregnancy that is the most insane.
Really?
Yeah, pregnancy itself is like, it's hard, but there's this like, there's this real sweetness to it that, you know, like I would be on the road and I'd be like, oh, I'm not like alone. Like I would go back to the room and I'd be like, oh, I'm like hanging out with my little buddy on the road, you know, we're together.
Yeah.
But after you have a baby, that's when it really.
Why? Because they're keeping you up and you're.
Because postpartum is like, even if there was no baby there.
Yeah.
Postpartum.
What is it?
Is like the period of time after the hormonal crash that happens after you have a kid is so intense. I think I saw some comparison where it was like for a man to experience the hormonal crash of a woman after pregnancy, he would have to age like 10 years in one night.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah,
it was
totally.
Like It's so fucking crazy. No, it's not like PMS. It's like being born. It's fucking insane. Like PMS is a fucking walk in the park for me now.
Really?
Like when I'm like, oh, I've got cramps. Big fucking deal. Like,
yeah.
When I tell you, I was like awake, but operating on like dream logic. Like I was so raw and fucking fucked up and had no idea who I was. Like everything that I've built up, my sense of self that I've built over years was like destroyed in a day.
That sounds like PMDD, which I have, where it's like every time before I get my period, it's like, I have no sense of self. I'm suicidal. And like, it doesn't matter what I've done in my life. I'm reduced to a childhood form of myself.
Yes, but without the suicidal. I mean, if you have postpartum depression, suicidal thoughts for sure. Suicidal ideation for sure. I did not, from the moment I used to have suicidal fucking thoughts all the time. From the moment she was born, I did not have them anymore. But wow. I did maintain this weird other depression level of just like not feeling anything at all because I was so overwhelmed at all times. But yeah, it was definitely
it's like an acid trip kind of feeling. It's
a little bit. Yeah. Like I called, I remember walking. It was 6 days after I'd had a C-section. I was like, we all have to get out of the house. Right.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, we gotta like take a walk in Central Park. And I wanted to carry her. I wouldn't let anybody else carry her. So I was like carrying her with a fucking like open dinner plate sized wound that was like fucking super glued together and walking in the park. And at one point I got cold and I was like, she's cold. And then I started calling my sister and apologizing to her. She was like, for what? And I was like, I'm just really sorry. Like, she was like, okay. You know what I mean? Like it was.
Yeah.
Truly, like when you are on acid or when you're on hallucinogens and you're emoting for no reason, like you're like laughing and then crying at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was crazy. And then all your friends they all talk to you like you're somebody else. They all go like, hey, mama. Like,
yeah.
Comics were talking to me like this. And I was like, it's me. Like, yeah. It's Rosebud. I just have a kid now.
Man, so you're on acid weird. And then you're also getting treated like somebody on acid.
Yeah.
Like they're being like, you okay?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was so psychotic.
Yeah, I had the weirdest PMDD this most recent time because it was like full moon, PMDD, my birthday all at once. And I was just like,
damn.
The level of, and I was like going through this thing with a man.
Yeah.
And I was just like, the level of sobbing I was like letting out was so animalistic. And then I got so depressed on my birthday and I hit up Liz and I was like, let me do spots. And then I like went and did spots. And then the next day I was like, did I actually do that? And I like couldn't even remember what I was doing on stage. Yeah. And then I like ran into a guy at the gym. It was like, oh, I saw you on your birthday on stage. You like talked to me. And I was like, oh my, like I could not. It was like a total, it feels like you're in a dream state with PMDD at least. And you're like, all bets are off. It doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter how you ground yourself. You just like have to feel better. Like you have to do anything to feel better.
Yeah.
And you can't be like, I just need to chill in this and allow this to happen. You're just like, I have to claw my way out of this.
Yeah,
feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's, you really got to like muscle your way through it. Kind
yeah.
of. Yeah, I mean, for sure. I feel like it took me like 2 years to get out of.
2 years.
Yeah, like a solid 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, I went on antidepressants in September.
This September?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are you on?
Wellbutrin.
Oh, yeah.
Went on Wellbutrin.
And off Adderall or something?
No, just on Wellbutrin.
Wellbutrin like helps with ADHD. It gave me panic attacks when I was on it. I have to be on.
I did have one very weird moment. Like my first day on Wellbutrin, I was convinced I was pregnant again and went to my OB and was like, I'm pregnant. And I took a pregnancy test and I swear to God, I saw two lines. But now I'm like, I don't even know if I saw them, you know?
Wellbutrin is crazy the first day. It's,
it was a lot.
It feels like, for me, it felt like I was hooked up to some like electrical voltage.
Yeah.
Like I was like so jittery and crazy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I like that. I'm like, I want to fight a wolf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something
totally.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know what
totally.
I mean?
Totally.
Just do a line of cocaine, fight a wolf.
Yeah, yeah. That is the best.
Yeah.
Except for when you're about to walk on stage and then you're like, why did I ever want this feeling?
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah.
it took 2 years to get out of postpartum depression.
It wasn't even, it took 2 years for me to identify it as postpartum depression, really. It took like, I think the first time I called my doctor, I was like a year and a half in, and I was like, it was again, I was just like, I don't know if I'm depressed or if this is actually just my life. Cause I was like, I was working at SNL and I was writing the book and I was shooting the special and I was touring and I was raising an infant. So I was like,
that's crazy.
My body's going to like break in half. Like I fully thought.
When did you write the book in all this?
When I was touring. So I would go on tour and on the weekends that I didn't bring her, I would literally lock myself in the hotel room and just write all fucking day. And
it's essays or short stories?
It's
or
memoir.
Memoirs?
It's memoir. It was supposed to start as essays. And then everything, because I was going through like all this shit while I was writing it, like I took these moments from my pregnancy or after having had the kid or going back to work after having her or even just like the first day home after the hospital and like the memories that came from that. Because I kept getting flooded with these fucking memories of my past. And so each...
While that was happening?
Yeah. So each chapter starts with like a moment from my present that was really demanding my attention and then goes into... like a past memory of like, you know, fucking from my alcoholism to like.
Because it was bringing it up, like you're sitting at home with your new baby.
Yeah,
because
you're like, you start to look at your own life and you go like, it's so weird because I knew the things that I didn't want to bring into her life from my own childhood. Like I was like, I know what I want to be different, but I had never thought about what I liked about my childhood that I wanted to give to her.
Yeah.
You know, everybody just thinks about like how they're going to do it differently.
Yeah.
You don't really think about like what you could bring to it that you actually
right. It's like so full of
it.
Self-loathing that you're like, I hate myself. They have to not turn into anything like
yeah,
me.
Yeah.
So I have to be different.
Yeah. So like, and then she was born and I was like, well, I grew up in a fucking political family in the suburbs.
Yeah.
Like waspy as fuck, and she's being raised by like two circus clowns in New York on a plane every weekend. Like, I don't know how this is gonna turn out.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, there has to be some sort of control here in terms of like if you're running an experiment, right?
Yeah.
There's gotta be one thing that I have in common, you know? And none of it, I just couldn't. So it started to kind of like freak me out. I started to like look back at like what I had been through and what I was, you know.
And did you find good things?
Yeah, I found some good things. Yeah. I mean, there's, look, everything is like, every bad thing that's ever happened to me ended up being like not that bad.
Yeah.
Because it all fucking works out, right? Like, I don't look at anything in my past as like, oh, I'm a victim of this or fucking whatever, you know?
Yeah, there's this really good scene in Anatomy of a Fall where she's talking about how her like son went blind from an accident and her husband is like always blamed himself and it's been like this tragedy of his life. And she's like, I can't possibly view it as a tragedy because it is now my son's life.
Yeah.
Like he is this way. And if I view that as a tragedy, I'm viewing his life as a tragedy.
Right.
But like, yeah, I think about that all the time where it's like, it's funny. I was talking about this with my friend. It's like, if life is just like an onslaught of horrible things that happen to you, you can get so stuck in this rut where you're like, what's the point of building anything?
Right.
If it's all, if everything just at any moment could collapse. And I do think when I fall into that depression, like when I'm like, holy shit, I could die any moment or somebody could die or the, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's when my life is going bad.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm like, why am I sacrificing so much now for the future if everything could end? But if I'm living in a happy way where every day is I'm doing something I like, then I don't mind that as much.
Yes, yeah.
So I almost feel like where people are like, that's like an existential dread about the future. I'm like, it might just be like a sign that the way you're living sucks.
Right.
Because you're worried if it ends at any moment, you'll be miserable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like you won't be happy with what you did.
Right, yeah.
Totally. I kind of approached having a kid in that way a little bit where it was like, because I couldn't fucking decide. I could not decide. I have dedicated my life to comedy. I love it. I could not imagine a world where something took precedence over it.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Or someone. And
And you don't want to resent them for it?
And I don't want to resent them for, well, that's kind of impossible because when they're your kid, you just don't. You know what I mean?
Oh, really? Okay.
You just don't. You're right. Like, it's like they're born and you're like, I mean, it's, I guess it's possible to be that shitty of a person, but I can't really imagine that you or I, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like, it's, they're born and you're just like, oh, yeah, this is, you're what matters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it does. It's not that comedy doesn't matter. It's that you take your ego out of it. So, like, you start to wonder, you go, like, there was, like, 2 years there where I was, like, what is ambition when you take the ego out of it? Like, what even is left?
Okay.
And it was kind of confusing.
Right. Like, if I'm not building something for my own legacy, what, why am I doing? Did it make you not want to tour? Did it make you be like, I don't want to? Oh, really?
No, it never made me not want to tour. It never made me not want to do comedy. It was a totally different feeling. It was just like, I wanted to do it because I love it. And that was it.
That's nice. That's ideal.
It was awesome.
Did it make you turn down shit you don't want to do?
Yes.
Mm.
Shit I don't want to do? I don't even fucking respond now. I don't even say no. I like forget the second that I'll read it and then I forget.
I remember talking to you like when I was a baby stand up and you being like, you were like, I cancel bar shows all the time. I feel so bad, but I cancel every one of them. And I remember being like, damn, I can. I remember like having the thought, like, I'm never going to get there where I can cancel bar shows. And now I am canceling constantly. But I remember specifically talking to you and being like, I can't even picture canceling a bar show. I have to take every single one of them.
Yeah.
But
and I can't picture being feeling guilty about it now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't,
totally.
I can't picture feeling guilty about canceling a fucking taping. Like, if my kid was sick or something. You know what I mean? Like, there was a weekend I was in. Actually, I did feel guilty this one time. I was in Philly and Minnow was here with Andy and she fell and she got stitches.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on stage and I got off and I had all, I was like, just tons of texts from Andy being like, please fucking call me. Please, you know, I was like, fuck, you know? So I call and he was like, she's okay. We're getting stitches, blah, blah, blah. I was like, and I had a second show to do, you know?
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, do I take an Uber back to New York or do I? And then the next day, like, she was okay all day, and then she spiked a fever.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm going home. Yeah. Like, I was just like, I'm sorry. Like, I did the first show, and I was like, I gotta go. I gotta take a fucking Uber back. I need to, like...
You did the first night.
I did the first night. I finished the first night. And then the next day, she was doing fine during the day. And then during my first show of the second night, she spiked a fever, and I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And I canceled the second show in Philly. But it was like... And I felt fucking really bad for that because that was like a headlining gig, you know? But like, it's just a moment where you're like, I gotta go.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna be not there for my kid.
Yeah.
Because.
And the industry does this thing where they make it so dire. I mean, there's sometimes where I'm like talking to like agents or managers or something and they're like, it's really gonna upset this club if you don't, you know? And I like, I get so stuck in that. And then like, if I pull back out, I'm like, I don't give a what the fuck do I care?
Right.
One weekend out of the year, this club gets, it's, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Yeah.
But when you don't have the like macro perspective, you're like, yeah, I am a bad person for canceling on Kentucky. And
right.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry for canceling so much. It's really crazy how many times I've had to cancel this weekend. Every time something comes up in my life, like a movie or something that I have to do or like something important, it is Lexington.
Yeah.
It's happened like 3 times. I'm really sorry.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is.
It's crazy. It's like, you know? I'm not supposed to go there or something.
It's maybe, who knows? You could die in Kentucky. You could get fucking kicked by a horse to death or something.
I think that'd be the only way to go in Kentucky. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the
one way people die. It's like the most heroic way to go in Kentucky.
Okay, this is for Factor. Hunger strikes and you're exhausted. There's something healthy in your fridge, pantry that you should be making, but you don't have it in you. For me, eating healthy isn't a willpower problem. It's a setup problem until I found Factor. With Factor, I'm hitting my nutritional goals this season without the planning and grocery runs. Okay, I keep Factor meals in my freezer. I eat them when I don't have food. I thaw them out. It's very fast. It's easy. They're delicious. They have lots of wild rice and lots of protein options. You can keep your macros going. It's really good. It's fresh, never frozen. Over 100 rotating weekly meals, globally inspired flavors like Mediterranean, Asian, and there's always something new to look forward to. Try the new launched ready-to-eat salads with vibrant ingredients like elote. I love elote. And miso edamame, plus 70 add-ons to round out your nutrition from green juices to peanut butter energy bites. I would like some of the peanut butter energy bites sent to me, please. Convenience, ready in 2 minutes. Factor shops, preps, cooks, and delivers straight to your door. So if you have more time for everything, you'll love this spring. I got Factor meals in my freezer, and so should you. They're a great backup plan. Head to factormeals.com/ripjordan50off. And use code RIPJORDAN50OFF to get 50% off and free daily greens per box with new subscription only while supplies last until September 27, 2006. See website for more details. Quince. This is an ad for Quince. The best summer pieces are the ones you end up wearing on repeat. Comfortable, versatile, and somehow right for almost every occasion. That's why I love Quince. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen, organic cotton, and washable silk without the traditional retail market markup. Quince is 100% European linen dresses and tops of the pieces you'll be reaching for all summer long. They're lightweight, effortless to style, and just start at $32. Their denim is soft and comfortable, soft and comfortable. Their organic cotton sweaters are perfect for layering evening, cool for layering when evenings cool down. Quince's beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry is both subtle finishing touch. Simple hoops or delicate chains to make even the most effortless outfit feel intentional. Everything at Quince is priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They work directly with ethical factories to cut out the middleman. So you're paying for exceptional quality, not brand markup. We love no brand markup. We love no middlemen. I use Quince. I have Quince luggage. I have Quince curtains. I have Quince measuring cups. I really like those. I have Quince, you know, like basic, you know, like what are they called? Tank tops, long sleeves. What else do I have? Underpants. Make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/RIP for free shipping on your order and 365 days return. Now available in Canada too. That's quince.com/RIP for free shipping and 360 day returns. Quince.com/RIP. Quince.com/RIP. Quince's got okay. Quince's got something. Okay, thanks.
So you had no idea if you wanted to have a kid, and then you were like...
I was just like, I'm more curious about life with a kid than I am life without one.
Yeah, totally.
I'm way more, and I'm just like, if something is like piquing my interest, like I'm going to do it, you know?
I know, it's so crazy. It's all, yeah, I'm so in the mode right now where I want a kid, but...
Are you with somebody that you like?
Yeah.
Okay, what does he do?
It's the same guy.
Oh, it's the same guy.
Okay. It's not the same guy as before. It's the same guy that we are on and off for years, that guy, where every time we get into a relationship. And it could be that I want to have a kid with him so that he stops breaking up with me.
Yeah.
But.
That'll do it.
I don't know if that does it.
Yeah. It actually won't.
And then.
Whatever. Yeah, it doesn't. It brings out the. It can bring out the best in men, but it also brings out. It brings out the best in people and the worst at the same time.
Yeah, totally. I think with him, it's like because we've broken up so many times and we've like maintained a friendship.
Yeah.
And like just been through like hell with each other, but never gotten to a point where it's like, you suck. You suck. It's never been like that.
Right, yeah.
I'm like, my body's a little bit like, dude, no matter what happens, this guy will support you.
Yeah.
While you have a, you know, not like monetarily, but like we'll support you and a child. Yeah. Even if you break up, even if you get divorced. So I think my body is like.
This is the guy.
Yeah. Just because I'm really bad in relationships. I break up constantly. Like I'm constantly being like, we can't do this. And.
Why do you think that is?
I think the idea of...
Not to, like, therapize you or anything.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's what this is about. But I think the idea of being in a long-term relationship feels so, like, ludicrous to me. Like, it could never happen.
Mm-hmm.
That I want to sabotage it to, like, get through any of the pain of...
Of actually, like, losing somebody?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And I also just, like, don't... There's a part of me that, like... I can't imagine there being a time where there's like a lull in the relationship or things get like what is the word, monotonous. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine being like not second guessing it and not being, you know what I mean? Not being able to like push through that. And I think I'm such a like adrenaline, dopamine addict that I'm like, I'm always going to need these huge spikes, which I don't want. But I do think that that's why I sabotage, or not sabotage, but that's why I like try and stir the turd in the relationship, is because I'm like, I want to feel the big addictive love thing. And if you break up and get back together, you can feel that.
Totally.
And like anything that's like this, I have to create. But now I'm like hearing about people and my like friends of mine, because it happens in the 30s where everybody's like childhood trauma starts, like all of it comes to roost a little bit, where like in your 20s you can be a tyrant, nobody cares. But then you have these like 36-year-old women or something that are like, their childhood trauma is coming up and they're stirring the turd and they're actually, it's actually ruining their relationship, and they're like, well, now I have to start over at square one. So I am like, the more that I see it around me, I'm like, oh, this isn't like unique to me. And like, there is a certain point where it's like more interesting to not be a tyrant.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To like grow and change. All of that.
And like deal with your shit instead of like throwing a grenade into a relationship. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or having a new hour instead of throwing a grenade, like something else that you can get high off of.
Right. Right.
Because this whole shit of just like starting random fights in order to feel something is like getting boring to me.
It does get boring.
It does get boring.
Yeah. Like the wounded artist fucking shit just gets like boring to me. I think like, you know, there is like, I think there's a part of me that is just kind of a, the whole fucking thesis that I, of my book is like, you're never going to get to a place in your life where you're like, there she is, she's all fucking done.
Yes, dude. And I always, every day I wake up and I'm like, if I have a good day, I'm like, the leaf has been turned.
Yeah.
I am a new.
I'm a complete product.
And then the next day I feel like shit.
Yeah.
Or I don't get enough sleep and I'm like, I eat shit or something like that. And I'm like, oh, I didn't make any progress. And my therapist just the other day was like, you have to stop viewing yourself like that, where it's like one day you're bad, one day you're good. It's like you just are who you are and you have good days and bad days.
Right.
But that's so hard for me.
I know. It's like you just have to zoom out like big time and go like, okay, there's, look, like everything that I have been through up until this point has led me to who I am right this second, right now today, which could change tomorrow depending on what happens today.
Yeah.
So like it's, but I don't know if it's fucking capitalism or what that's like makes us the, or maybe it's even our industry and like the fact that we ourselves are like a product, you know, that we're like,
I think you
selling.
Go on stage one day and you're like, oh, I got it in the bag. And
like
then,
I'm this, you know?
Yeah.
And then people, it's tricky because people start to see you in a certain way.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, I can't change.
Yeah.
Because what will the people who have listened to me think if I just like one day get on the stage and I'm a completely different person.
Right.
But then I look at fucking Carlin and Pryor and I go, well, they had the fucking courage to do it.
You also just can't, like, you can't change your voice. You can't change the way that you look drastically. And you actually can't change the amount of, like, you aren't randomly going to step on stage and be somebody who spent 10 years in India.
Right.
You know what I mean? You've had all your experiences. So no matter what comes out, it's going to be a version of you. It's not going to be a completely alien thing.
Yes. But on the sense of like, as an audience member, like they might not get that. You know what I mean? Like they might be used to like this one version of like, you know, like if Nikki Glaser like got married and had a kid today, you know what I mean? It would be a different, it's a different act.
But I still think it would be Nikki.
Yeah, totally. It's still Nikki.
Yeah.
And so it would, you know, but as a comic, you get a little like, you go like, can I do that?
Yeah.
And it's weird to like, it seems so stupid to not give ourselves permission to just like live our lives the way that we might want to live them. But
I also think there's
it's
like,
tricky.
There's like, you build up a level of like, for example, you'll be like, I'm this type of person. Like, I'm the type of person who I'm chaotic. I'm da 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 da. And like, the way that you justify being that way. Like, for example, like, what's an example? Like, I'm always going to have intellectual takes on things. That's who I am. That justifies that I'm a psycho. And then one day you're like, I don't want to say anything. I just want to, like, be quiet and listen.
Yeah.
And then your head goes, like, you're not being yourself, so you can't justify being all of these bad things. You know what I mean? Like, like, what's an example? Like, okay, say you're like, say you're like a sexual person.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm a sexual person, and like, that's what I bring to the table. I might be a little crazy, but I fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day you're like, I don't want to have sex. I don't want to have sex for a little while. Like, I want to take it. And you're like, but I have to fuck, or else I can't justify all these negative things about myself. Like, if I don't do well on stage, how do I justify my chaotic life?
Yeah.
And you're like, I have to like barter. I have to be this way in order. And at a certain point, you're like,
it's an exhausting game.
It's an exhausting game. Yeah, it's fucking so exhausting. Totally.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, Ivy Woke was on here, and she was like, yeah, I suck at sex. And I was like, you're saying on stage that you suck at sex, and it's making it so that you have to suck at sex. Because you don't want to be the person who's good at sex.
Right.
Because then what would you say on stage? Yeah. And I think, yeah, I think the, like, the pigeonholing ourselves so that we can, like, justify, or so that we can, like, have a unified sense of self, or, like, be like, this is who I am.
Yeah.
Gets so crazy that you're like, now I can't even give myself permission to just like be quiet and sit with myself because I constantly have to be running my mouth to prove how Jordan I am, which is crazy.
I did find that in my marriage a little bit, that I was like, it was tricky for me to ever fully relax into the idea that I was like married. And I know that sounds fucking crazy. But, like, I was talking to Andy about it, too. Like, both of us were like, yeah, it never really fully felt like we were, that this was forever.
Even though,
like, a part of us did believe that it was.
Yeah.
But, like, there was this other part of both of us that felt like this could, you know, end.
Why? What was that?
I think because I have, like, for me, I can only speak for myself, but I have this, like, genuine, like, maybe it comes from, like, trauma or whatever, like, but I don't believe that things are supposed to last forever.
Yeah, same.
And I am now, like, realizing that that is really antithetical to someone who wanted to get married.
Totally.
And someone who, like, wants to continue to, like, grow and, you know, ideally, you find somebody that you can do that with.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, when you marry somebody, like, they're not the same person that you married 7 years later.
Right. Were you guys married 7 years?
I don't know. We were married, like, five years.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, I'm like, I'm actually kind of shocked that we made it as long as we did.
Yeah.
But it's...
Totally.
Like, yeah, I think I just, like, couldn't really relax into the idea of being, of not having the option to leave.
Yeah.
That's fucked up to say.
I think that's also the addict mentality.
And it's like, I do feel, like, shame saying that, but that's...
You wanted the option to leave at all times.
I wanted the option.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, because it's like you want to wake up feeling like chosen by the other person.
Yeah.
And not fucking trapped.
Yeah.
And, you know, after like fucking having a kid together and like basically being on two separate comic schedules, like never seeing each other. And, you know, it's really fucking hard on a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So...
But don't you think anybody getting married knows they have the option to leave?
I would say that all the time. Like, I would be like, let's just remember, like, you know, we'd be in the middle of, like, a giant fight. I'd be like, okay, we can get divorced.
Yeah.
Like, let's just remember we can get divorced.
Yeah.
Like, it's an option.
Yeah, totally.
But that shouldn't be the thing that, like, you comfort yourselves with.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think that's the addict mentality when you get into a relationship, when you're an addict and I've done this at the end, where you get together and you're like, we have to make this work because we complete each other right now. Because right now we're so in love. And like, if anything crumbles or breaks, like, we have to stay enmeshed or else we're fucked. But I think people who do last forever are people who are like, things are going to happen to both of us. We're going to both change radically, and we know how to ebb and flow with that because there's like a space around each of us that doesn't have to be so fucking locked in.
Yeah.
But I've gotten in so many relationships where you're like, if one of us falters a little bit, the whole thing will crumble.
Yeah.
Because this is based on such an intense enmeshment style love.
Yeah.
Which I think is the addict thing.
Yeah, I don't like to feel enmeshed at all.
There's, yeah.
That's like a, I really am not that, I'm yeah. not into that.
I'm such an enmesher.
I don't like that at all. I get real cagey when I feel like I don't have an exit ramp.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I know that's like not great. But it's funny because like I never ever with my daughter look at her and go like, man, I wish I could fucking leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
that's so cool.
It's like.
Because you've been like an avoidant forever.
Yeah, I would say I'm like a secure avoidant. Like there's yeah. like a little bit of both, yeah. you know? And I think that when I'm at my worst, I'm definitely avoidant. But for the most part, I'm a pretty, I feel pretty secure, pretty securely attached, to people. I just like, I don't know. It was like, I kind of think of it as like this, like, you know, when you're not supposed to. If you're not an experienced dog owner, you shouldn't, like, adopt a pit bull, right? Yeah. And I feel like Andy adopted a pit bull.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Having never totally. Owned a dog. That's what it kind of started to feel like. Like, I was like, oh, I'm cooped up in the house, and I got to run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it was
yeah.
like that.
Totally, totally.
I just needed the freedom to do that. And yeah. and it's not like he didn't give that to me, because he did. But it was like there was a disappointment that I felt.
From not being contented, from not being a lap dog, a little bit,
yeah.
Like you were like, I need to feel like a completely independent unit. I need to run around. I need to be free.
I want someone who is like into the fact that I am, like, who I am, you know.
And it felt like in that relationship that he kind of wanted you to be a little bit more of like a committed wife.
There were times, yeah,
yeah,
and this is like. I'm not trying to make him look bad. You know what I mean?
Because no, like, I'm like that. I'm like that too. Where it's like if I'm dating an avoidant, I'm like, why can't you just be more of like this? And then, but the reality is, it's because I'm attracted to people right, who right. are
and by the nipples. Way, I felt kind of the same way with him sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I was like, why can't you be more like this? And it's like, why can't you both just fucking like either divorce or accept each other?
Yeah.
You know. And it just like, but I still really love him. And genuinely, like, really love him. And so it's tricky because it's almost, when you're in the middle of a divorce, it's almost more complicated when you're getting along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're
yeah.
getting along right now. So it's harder when you're getting along because you start to remember, like, all the great things that you had.
Oh, my God, that's so hard.
Yeah.
So are you guys, like, sitting across the table at, like, a court place and
so we did mediation today. That was like our first mediation was today, and it was like, whew,
what
you know
does
what
that
I mean?
Look like where you're being like, you get this and I get this?
Yeah, it's like you're coming up with a plan for like how to divide the assets and how to, you know.
Oh, and you just did it with, like, your buddy today? Like he was a bud?
No, like
he was like a friend to you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like we were just like, and you know, but we're sitting in mediation and we feel like husband and wife again.
Oh my God.
And then I called him afterwards and I was like, are you okay? Are you good? And I was like, that was intense. And he was like, yeah. He's like, we did good. He's like, we did good. We got through it. We didn't kill each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, we did. Okay. That you're right. And then, you know, we just like bullshitted and we're like making fun of each other, you know? And,
yeah.
And it's like, I feel better once we, if me and Andy are making each other laugh, everything's good.
Yeah, totally.
But it's also when I miss him, you know?
I know. Was there a moment where you were like, let's just not do this?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
We've had a couple of those.
Really?
A couple of those, yeah.
Oh, my God. I could never withstand that. I would
We've cave. Definitely had, like, you know, we've had some moments where it was like, we really miss each other. And,
yeah.
you know, we love each other. And
you got to the point of, like, best friendship. In the relationship. I mean, you were fighting, but like.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, we were best friends. The second I met Andy, I was like, holy fuck, we are like simpatico.
Yeah.
I can be myself with this person.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get more, life gets bigger and
yeah.
the responsibilities get fucking heavier. And it's like, it just kind of fucks with it. You know, it's like our relationship is amazing and fun and silly, but it cannot withstand the stress test of
yeah.
like a life with as like co-parent or as like parents in the same home. And like, you know, with a mortgage and the fucking, it's just too much.
That's fucked.
But I'm also like grateful that when we did divorce, I was like, look, I know this sucks right now, that we don't want to deal with the inconvenience of this being true, that this is the right move. But I do think that like within 3 months, we're both going to be like, we're happier. And both of us are happier.
Really?
Yeah.
See, this is the whole question of like, do you marry your best friend or do you marry some guy?
You don't marry your best friend.
Yeah, I think that that's the crazy thing.
I mean, you don't marry your best friend. Look, maybe some people do and it works for them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I have a friend who, I mean, the editor of this, Hi Harry, he's married to his best friend, but they don't have kids.
Well, it depends on, honestly, I think it depends on how sexual of a person you are.
Yes. True. Totally. Yeah, that's a you know very what I mean? Good point.
Your best friend is not going to.
I know. I mean, this is like the
question, like, you know, your own existence in the middle of sex. And that's kind of what I need. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Or your best friend is too lucid. It's too lucid during sex. You're too both there as exactly yourselves. How are you going to switch into a different weird role?
Right.
Because they're going to be like, what are you doing?
Right. They're like, why are you doing this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you know what it is, though? When you're best friends and you're connected, you can have the greatest sex ever. But if you're best friends and you're slightly off that day, like one of you is a little bit of a bitch and the other one is a little bit of a simp or whatever, you can't fuck.
Yeah.
If I'm dating like a dude who's just like an alien to me, we're from different planets, I can have sex 100% of the time. If you're with your best friend, it's got to be aligned. You can't be having an off day. They can feel it. You don't discuss it. And well, then you fuck.
I guess, yeah. I just think that I think of a best friend as like kind of like an equal.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, sex is a little more, there's more power plays involved with sex for me.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? I don't want.
But how do you not get to that point with your partner or your best friend where you're like, yeah, I need you to do this thing?
How do you not?
Or, like, when you get to that point, it's because you don't buy it when they do it. Like, if you're like, I need you to choke me out and call me a whore. Right. Your best friend is doing it. It's like Blair being like, you're a whore.
Yeah, if you have to sit down and be like, hey, can you do this next time we fuck? And they do it. It's like, and you can tell they're doing it for you. It takes all the horniness out of it. Like,
Right.
I'm going to need you to come up with that on your own. Like, I don't want to be like, hey, can we try this? And then it looks like you're auditioning for a play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Naked.
But what do people do who've been married for 50 years? Or not 50 years, but a long time. And they need...
I don't know, cheat? I have no idea.
I know. That's my question. Is it just, do we just do relationships in 5-year chunks? Like until you get to know them too well? And
yeah,
then
I know.
It off?
Dude, I've had the same thought. I'm just like, what happens? Like, how do you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you like keep it going? But I do think that there's like, there has to be somebody out there where like the sex is, it sounds like this person that you keep going on again, off again with.
Yeah.
The sex has to be insane.
It's normal. It's best friend sex.
It's normal.
It's like, no, it's like, it's not crazy because we like know each other so well.
Yeah.
That when it's like good, it's like crazy good. But if it's off at all, we're just like, yeah, dude, I know you too well. You're not into this right now. I know you too well. You're not into this right now. But with other people who I don't know well, it's just like, you can go fucking sicko mode because you're like, you're a fucking weirdo and I'm going to have sex with you in whatever way I want.
Yeah.
Because I don't respect you. You know what I mean?
Okay,
but like
yeah.
with somebody who I'm like, we know each other for so long, it's like, it's gotta be.
See, I can't fuck somebody I don't respect.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely do that.
I cannot fuck somebody I don't respect. I just am like, ugh.
Really?
Yeah, I find them disgusting.
What if they're good
at
sex?
A man I don't respect.
Who's good at sex, though?
A man who's good at sex, I would never find out. I would never find out.
Oh, really?
Because if I don't respect them, I'm not gonna want to fuck them.
Yeah,
you know what
I have to have some layer of respect. But what I guess what I mean is like if I don't know you, if you're not like my planet person.
Yeah.
Like if you ever fuck somebody who's like who's like Rosebud, you're so like this. And you're like, yeah, that's like my persona. Like you don't actually know me.
Yeah.
That sex rules because you're like you literally have me as a performer right now, like an entertainer. But when somebody's like, Jordan, I know you intimate and deeply, and I know that you are a former fat kid and you hate yourself, that sex is scarier.
See, it's opposite for me.
Okay.
I am, if I'm fucking somebody that doesn't actually know me,
yeah,
I don't enjoy it. Like, it's a performance, and I don't enjoy it because it's not coming from, like, a, you know what I mean? It's not going to change me at all. Like, it doesn't, I want it to be, like, I want it to be, like, a transformative fucking thing.
I know? Think this is a little bit of the difference between people who lean avoidant and people who lean anxious. Because I think, because with avoidance I've been with, they're like, I'm not going to do some weird shit where I don't feel connected or I don't feel like I'm growing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what? Let's just put on a play where we're coming a lot. You know what I mean? And they're like, no, what's the point of that? You know what I mean?
I won't be able to come if it's a play.
That's really interesting.
And I will not fake it. I will not fake it.
Yeah.
That is something that's like, I'm, you know what I mean? And listen, I can enjoy sex without coming. I can. It's
no,
not
fuck that.
It's not Jesus great, yeah. You know. But if the point of it is coming, it's gonna be bad.
And it has to be for you. It has to be a place where you're like, I'm not performing. We are connected, and we're like both into it.
Yes.
You can't be like, I'm just gonna be a hot bitch on top right now and come.
No, I want to be a hot bitch on top and come and have it be real
and have them know you intimately.
Yes, and wow. Have them like, I want to be like, not penetrated just physically. I want to be like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
I want to walk away a different person.
Yeah, I think I come the hardest if I'm like, this person doesn't fucking know me. Yeah. This person, you know what I mean? If they know me, I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And now, and I can't ask if you're having good sex.
I am having good sex.
Oh, you are having good sex. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. Where you feel known.
Yes.
Yeah. But you knew this person before.
Yes.
Which helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does help. Yeah,
I'm not like out there meeting new people. I can't.
No,
I'm not, like,
fucking way, dude. Did you have that fear when you were getting separated where you were like, holy shit, the idea of telling somebody about my dead sister makes me want to kill myself?
I wasn't even thinking about dating other people when we got separated. I wasn't like, I was like, we need to just like split right now. And all I was thinking about was like, how is this going to affect? Because originally I was like, if we spend time apart, maybe we will like come back together. You know what I mean?
Okay, okay, yeah.
I was like, maybe it'll be good for us.
And he was probably like, no, if we separate, it's done.
Yeah.
Right, because he's more like me. I'm that same way. It's the same way with the avoidant that I am on and off with. He's very much like, we have to split up at some point. Maybe it'll be fine. And I'm like, you're going to lose me forever. You're going to lose me forever. And he's like, okay, then that is what happens. And I'm like, how can you think that way?
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, if that's what happens, then that's what happens. And then, you know, a few weeks later, like, you know, I was sort of like, you know, I went a little nuts. I was like putting up thirst traps that were like fucking desperate. And I, you know, was just like, oh my God.
I didn't see them.
Like, well, I would delete them like 5 hours later and be like, oh my God, what the fuck did I do? You know? But I would put those things up and then I would be like, you know, I would get these like DMs and, you know, one of the DMs was like from someone that I am currently fucking. And I was like,
safe.
I was like, maybe that's an option. But then I like had the conversation of like, hey, so are you like dating other people? What's the deal? Like how are we doing this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I tried to have a conversation about that.
With Andy.
Yeah. And it was like, you know, I think he was more comfortable just like calling it quits than
taking a big break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. That's really, I mean, who knows?
I mean, it doesn't, like,
it's because I have to do that for myself. Like, I have to be like, bro, if I'm thinking about this as a break, there's no way I'm going to be able to connect with another person. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way. I'm just going to be looking at them and being like, when is my husband coming home? So it's like, for you, I think it's easier. You can, like, compartmentalize and be like, I think, when you are more secure, leaning avoidant, you can have this like feeling of like whatever happens is meant to happen. But I think when you're running a little anxious, you're like, I'm not going to be able to think until I clear this person completely off the slate. I have to like demonize them and basically be like, it's done forever or else I won't even be able to concentrate on the person in front of me.
Yeah.
But it don't mean
I definitely
shit.
See that. I definitely see that coming from.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything, though. It doesn't mean anything about the future. It just means something. It just means in order to be present, I have to do this.
Right. Yeah. And I get that. I fully get that. It is. I do think that like it's it's working out the way it's supposed to, you know? We are getting along, and I'm like, as long as we're getting along, that's good. It's tricky because I, you know, when we're getting along, especially if we're with Minnow, it's an adjustment to be like, okay, and we're just buddies, you know?
Oh, I can't even imagine. That's so intense.
Yeah, but it's easier when you have like years of proof that like, unless something major has happened, unless he has, you know, and unless I have completely shifted who we are as people, like we will run into the same shit.
Yeah.
So we are better off.
God, you have such a level head about it. I would have gotten out of that thing and been like, what are we?
Oh, no. I have had, when you say that you have had like feral screaming, crying fits.
Yeah.
I have had those in a crazy way.
Yeah.
Like, especially with like a kid involved. I have been alone in my bed, fucking beating the shit out of a pillow and like screaming into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, just picturing like, you know?
Yeah, totally.
I'm just like, but then when that's over, I'm like, oh, whew, okay.
I know, it is the best. And then you have the best sets of your life after you sob like that. Yeah. What is with that?
I think it's like a release.
It is like a release.
Like you've cleared out the fucking tank.
Yeah.
There's no fucking cobwebs.
They have to let another new people in here.
Okay.
But you should plug your book and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I wrote a book. It's called Fully Baked, A Messy Memoir. It's out June 9th. When is this coming out?
Couldn't tell
you. We don't know. Yeah. Okay, so...
It's out now.
June 9th. Yeah, it's out now.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's out. You can get it wherever you get your books. I'm on tour like crazy right now. So go to rosebudbaker.com and you can catch me June and July. I'm going to be on the road.
Are you bringing Minnow?
I'm bringing Minnow. August, I'm going to be home on a writing project. So that'll be fun.
That's so nice. Touring in August sucks.
I fucking hate touring during the summer. I had to do it during SNL, and it's like nobody wants to see.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It sucks.
You don't
want to
be in there. You're like, yeah, the sun's still out at 7 p.m. when you get on stage. You're like, I'm sorry. Let's just all go
like,
barbecue.
This is like weird reverse church.
Yeah, or totally. Something. Yeah.
Okay. So check me out, rosebudbaker.com. Buy my book and Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, fucking YouTube, Rosebud Baker.
Cool. All right. Thanks, guys. You know where I'm on tour.
You know, and then
punch up live.